Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great to have everybody back for another week of great talk here on our show. And tonight, George and I are thrilled to welcome Valentina Latina. How are you doing this night today?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for this amazing, you know, moment to share with all my American audience, of course, and Latinos who are watching us today. Thank you, George, great. And Dan.
Yeah, well, as Groucho Marx once said, it's early yet. Anyway, so if you've got a question for Valentina about all the stuff that we're going to talk about, feel free to throw it in the chat room. Jeff Holman is sitting in there somewhere and typing on your questions and relaying to us, and we'll get to those in just a little while. And so why don't we get the show on the road? You ready, Mr. Whittem?
I'm ready to go.
All right, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver Home Studio Master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional-sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the VoiceOver world today, letting you ask your questions, and giving you the latest information to make the most of your VoiceOver business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, JMC Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO
BS.
Yes. Well, it's great to have everybody back here after a couple of weeks. You know, it's like we try to do the show, you know, we do it every other week, and then the opposite Monday when we throw Tech Talk out there, it's like there's nothing to do tonight. I guess I'll watch TV.
There's more TV to watch lately.
There sure is. You know, and of course, you know, if you're watching this in replay, we have no idea what's going on in Europe right now. I mean, we know today on Monday, but we don't know what's happening out there. Of course, you know, our thoughts go out to all our Ukrainian friends who are under siege right now. And
I'm wearing this army T-shirt in salute to the military who are
green here too,
and the civilians,
who are standing
up for their country, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
and nail biting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, my family is from that part of the world. My father's family is from around Kiev, so I have a bit of an attachment to it. Not that I've ever been there. Anyway, speaking of going on around the world, we have a great guest tonight. She's going to be joining us from Santa Clarita, which is, you know, it's Los Angeles. It's all the same place. Valentina Latina is a Colombian-American award-winning actor, voiceover actress based in Los Angeles. Two times Savoy Award winner as best voiceover in the U.S. Wow, talk about big time. Best actress short for Defenseless in 2020 in five film festivals. And for years, she's been the official voice of big celebrities such as Eva Longoria, Brooke Shields, Giada De Laurentiis, Tiffany Haddish for the Latin market. I was going to say, you don't just talk for them. I mean, they have their own voices. Anyway, let's welcome to the show, because we've been looking forward to this for a while, Valentina Latina. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just great and very honored to be here with you guys. And yes, so happy sharing this moment with you and all around the world listening to us and watching us today.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you with us tonight. Now, you're a voice actor, you're an actor, you've done a lot of screen work, but we'll get into that a little bit, but you are, like many Americans, not from America. But see, what I tell people, what I think about Americans is whether you were born in, you know, in Sicily or you were born in Botswana, if you come to this country, that makes you an American because you're taking a risk, and Americans are risk takers, and that's what makes Americans. So you came from Colombia. Tell us about your life in Colombia before you came here.
Well, actually was very helpful having my dad as a journalist and a newspaper, and also my mom, she's still a soap opera actor. And that helped a lot in my career, you know, having this inspiration around. So she was very aware of my education, you know, about classes for painting, dancing, ballet and acting and et cetera. But at some point, my childhood was kind of frustrated. I'm going to use this moment to express myself.
Okay, go for it.
Because it was very pushing, you know, it was a kind of like a manager, we say that. The kind of mom was like, come on, stand up and do this, do that. Some point, you know, as a child was like, okay, wait, I want to play with my friends. I want to go to school like a regular kid. But after 30 years, something, being involved in the entertainment industry, I just have to say, thank you, mom. Thank you because maybe she saw something, some kind of talent, and definitely I'm just thankful for that type of education. And that's how exactly I started in voiceover. I remember I was in this studio. She was shooting this telenovela, which is a soap opera. Mm-hmm. And so she finished. I was 8 years old, and I clearly remember we were walking down the hall looking for the parking. And this guy was like looking around, like for something. And my mom was like, hey, are you okay? And he's like, hey, Rocio, can I borrow your daughter for a second? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Okay.
So that's how I really started. It was just the right thing, the right moment, the right people. Because I remember entering this you know, professional sound studio. It was my very first time in front of a microphone. And I remember the guy on the other side of the glass giving me directions and telling me, can you say this line, but can you laugh? Can you say hotter, louder? And I was like, what am I doing? This is cool. I remember I was having a lot of fun. And after that, I became the voice of doing the promos for the only show we have for kids back in the 90s. So I did that for years. Of course, as a child, you don't know that's a job. But yeah.
They're not paying you directly.
Yeah. And that's it. That's how it really happened.
Yeah. Do you remember going from feeling like it was sort of like structured play to you're actually doing a job? Do you remember how old you were like when that happened, when you knew you were like, really making money?
Talking about the crossover. And because after that, it was promos, radio commercials and dubbing. And, you know, for Latin America, the dubbing industry is a huge part of our voiceover industry.
Sure.
And so when I came to Los Angeles, I used to be the voice for Food Network, Latin America. So I was running 5 shows, and the studio was like, hey, Val, can you just buy a microphone? Can you go to a studio? They want you to keep recording. I was like, dude, no. Do you know how much it costs a microphone here or having a decent acoustic, whatever? Like, so I was like, wait, so if that's important, it's because this is an actual job. And so far, for the last 15 years. It's been a hobby or something. I have some income, but really I was just a student, you know, a theater student. So for me, it was more like, okay, I have money for, you know, as a theater student, I have money for this wardrobe or wig or whatever I needed. And
as opposed to just food.
Yeah.
As opposed to just food.
Exactly.
Which is always.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that was my shock, really. And I'm sure for the people who's starring in Latin America, this career nowadays is different. Because I'm talking about only 12 years ago. But believe it or not, 12 years ago, it wasn't this big in Latin America. The respect our industry has, it's been growing through the last 10 years. And yeah, I'm sure I'm not wrong on that.
Yeah. So you came here in 2010. What prompted you to come this way?
My heart was absolutely broken by this chiri guy. So I was trying to escape. That's the truth. And I was like, oh man, I need to get out of my country. I don't want to see this guy anymore. But wait, this offer of, you know, doing film and New York Film Academy and, you know, doing more about on camera and everything. So that was another excuse, of course, improving my English as well. And Los Angeles was the first city came to my budget, and it was fine for me. And I was like, okay, let's do it for a year. And it's been 12.
And you're still happened? Here. So how did you, you know, so you come to another country, to a new city, to a totally different, you know, culture for the most part. How did you make that adjustment?
I'm still doing it. I'm still working on it. And to be honest, it's a big step, especially as I say, because voiceovers, first of all, in Latin America, they're very anonymous. Can I say that? Like, you don't really ask yourself, oh, who's that voice? Or, yeah, the career for voiceovers could be just completely, I don't know, like people doesn't really know. And you can be in the industry easily your entire life. And these type of things, like sharing information with your colleagues or putting videos, because of course, technology has been working on it and helping a lot, but over there is not that common. It's not a very common thing to do. You just go to the studio and you just go home and nobody knows what do you do for a living. And yeah, so seeing the voiceover industry here, you guys are allowing much more having that presence with your name, with your brand, with your, you know, your pictures, or you put, you know, your website and da 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 da. And that's a big thing. That's a big difference we have.
Yeah, it's fascinating that, you know, that nobody really, of course, we like to say that there are no A-lister voice actors. There are A-lister actors who do voice work. But you know, the rest of us are, you know, doing all the other things that are out there. What types of material are you doing? Is it strictly commercial, or are you doing narrations? Are you still doing dubbing, or what are all the different things that you're doing?
Yeah, I always said that dubbing, it's my big school in voiceover. But after that, through the years, that's a good thing also, like to be alert, to be aware what is going on with your voice and what is going on with the type of auditions you really feel you're doing something and you're actually booking. And it's been mostly animation and video games. And so when I put that on the table and I say, okay, I'm booking this, 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 and this, and now I want to, or this project calls my attention. But guess what? That's very close to my education as a theater actor. So I think that's a great compliment, but I never planned this. The good thing is that, you can use whatever tools you have from your background or something you actually liked and compliment each other. So I am really looking forward being more present in the video game and animation industry.
Yeah. Once again, if you're just joining us, where have you been? But other than that, our guest tonight is Valentina Latina, and she is a Latin American voice actress, but you also do a lot of English stuff, right? And we'll get into that in a second. But if you've got a question for her, based on what we're talking about, throw it in the chat room, whether you're on Facebook or if you're watching on YouTube Live, there's a chat room in there. You can throw your questions in there, and we'd love to hear from you. And we know you're out there because we see the numbers going up and up and up watching the show. Anyway, we were talking about dubbing, and how did the pandemic affect you? I mean, I know suddenly everything had to get dubbed. I know all the networks were, you know, desperate for material in various languages. You know, I've been dubbing, you know, a lot of stuff from Arabic, you know, from Lebanon and India and Egypt and stuff like that. Did the pandemic have an impact on the type of stuff you were doing?
Actually, in a very good way. Good. And I'm glad because there is something voiceover in America, they were ready for it. And I'm so happy really having the kind of support like you guys do and many other, you know, sources you can have if you're part of the union or you're regular taking classes, etc. And my surprise was like, oh my God, finally I can use Source Connect more than once a month.
Almost pays for itself then, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But really, I had Source Connect. I really was using it like once every 3 months, 4 months, because most of my work was like, you know, going, driving to the studio, etc. And the pandemic was like, okay, that's great. I already have this. And now it's time maybe to invest. Oh, maybe, you know, I need another camera or another, you know, extra monitor or whatever. So that's a good thing. Unfortunately, talking about Latin America, it's the opposite. You know, regular voiceovers, it's not that common. People has their home studios or with a professional acoustic or professional gear. And that's pretty sad because it was like, man, I've been in the industry for the last 40 years and studios closed and they're only hiring people with this kind of microphone or whatever. And so, yes, that's the big difference.
Yeah. So now I remember the question I had originally asked there. That is, what type of work are you doing? Obviously you're doing dubbing work. What other types of stuff?
Yeah, dubbing and video games and animation.
And animation, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. George?
What of that is the most technically challenging, demanding for you of those three?
And, you know, you're talking about, like, technical?
Yeah. Yeah, as an actor, what do you have the most tech to deal with when you're doing jobs? Is it animation? Is it games? Where is the one that you're like, this is going to be a big pain?
Yeah, big pain is always going to be video games. As you know, not only your preparation, because your instrument will be exposed the whole time. And it's very easy if you don't have the proper training to just make some damage to your chords. And also, like, things to use your gain. How are you going to use your gain when you're screaming and when you're not? Or you have to whisper this whole time and you don't know that. Or you just forget to do it, to change your gain.
Do they expect you to mess with your gain a lot? Do they when you're doing the games, do they expect you to play with your gain?
It depends a lot. Really, I have this studio in Spain. They're in Spain, and when they send me over, they put like this huge mark, like, please be aware, like, this is whispering. And you know, you have to do same lines 3 times. So whispering the whole time, then screaming, projecting, same lines, da 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 da. So yeah, that's I would say video games, it's more exhausting also, you know.
Yeah, video games is, you know, the tremendous range of stuff, because you're you know, you could be like chopping somebody's head off and really, you know, getting into the emotion of that, but you know, but and how do you adjust for that? So
you know, are those sessions typically directed sessions? You guys have both done some of that.
Not really. No. Because if I do it, well, the thing is, I haven't done in English video games, but in Spanish. All my credits are in Spanish. And you really never see the character most of the time, which is like, okay, I'm going to imagine this lady is like, what? you take choices. that's the best way. Like, okay, I'm going to imagine she is a huge lady. And so you take choices. And they just give you the lines. And so I'm responsible to really work on the acting according to the description of what is more about the character, right? Right. And yeah, that's a big responsibility, you know, now that I think about it. Wow.
It's acting.
How do you do that? I don't know. Yeah, it's acting. And that's the thing. If you don't really know how to control your emotions, and the character is crying the first scene, and after that you're really in tears, like, okay, now you have to save those tears because you have to do it 10,000 more times.
Yeah. I did one a couple of weeks ago where I was eaten by birds. Imagine what that was like.
What the heck? It's what kind of acting?
What kind of bird?
Imagine that.
It was a very mystical thing from, they were digital birds, so it didn't really hurt.
But definitely, when the sessions are directed, it helps, and everything is much more, smoother and everything, and you have, of course.
We know from doing some tech support for you. That you use Pro Tools. And, we have this feeling about Pro Tools that it's too complicated. Voice actors don't need it. So how did you end up landing on using Pro Tools for your studio?
Yeah, right. I don't know why I still have it. I don't need it. Just kidding. And, I'm still learning. I really encourage my students as well to learn and don't give up. Because apparently it's so hard, it's just apparently. But once you really know how to use it, at least the basic stuff, or for whatever you need it, you're part of the professional, industry. It's so good when I have clients all, on the other side of the world, and you can send easily, and you are speaking same language. And I think that's the main thing. And we have to be, according to what is happening. So I'm not going to say like, yes, I send you that to GarageBand. Okay, whatever. No, that's not going to happen. So Pro Tools, although I'm still learning, George the Tech has been illuminating my studio and a lot of troubles and issues I had at the moment with certain clients. And George just always have the right answer right there.
Well, if it's not me, and it usually isn't me, it's usually one of the other guys on my team answering those 911 calls when they come up. But
and when you say 911, I have to say it's literally 911. Like, you can call 1 in the morning, 2 p.m., and 2 a.m., and they really are there to help you. So thank you guys.
Somebody's willing to answer the phone most of the time.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Which blows my mind, yes. I think, Dan, you may have done that once.
I did work with somebody. They were in Spain, and I had to work with them at midnight. And my wife's like, what are you doing at midnight? Yeah. Once again, we're talking with Valentina Latanya. And if you got a question, throw it in the chat room, because we want to hear from you guys. That's why we do this show, so you can ask the questions. But of course, I like to ask the questions too. So you have a career, but you're bilingual, obviously, since you're speaking to us. Do you do any English work, or is it strictly in Spanish?
Oh, yes, dubbing. It's my surprise. Actually, my first dubbing in English was a Latin America show called El Chapo for Netflix. Mm-hmm. Another, thing that's very, I call it magic thing, because mics, that's what they do. They do magic. The casting director called me and she's like, you're going to play El Chapo's mom for the Dobby. And I'm like, okay, dude, I'm not even close to be 70 something. And the lady is, no, you have the voice for that. Yes, but I don't really speak English. Like, I don't have the, you know, the confidence to do dubbing in English. Really? 4 seasons. Yes, you do. And we need you. And then I understood, not only because, you know, the historic side is that America's, you guys don't really need to dub much of Latin America projects into English. Let's say it. Right. But because they wanted to keep the American audience with the flavor. What is this from? In this case, it's a Mexican story. And the accent will help with the character. So I played El Chapo's mom 4 seasons, and you can watch it on Netflix. And I had just a blast. I learned so much. There's a huge difference too in the dubbing, and then that, you know, this, that you guys use more like a karaoke. I call it like a karaoke thing.
Makes
right?
it a lot easier.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah, I'm old school. So
three
I was,
beeps and go.
No, that doesn't exist in Latin America, my friend. Well, I'm old school. So I only have, you know, I used to always have my, still have, or scripts. And we just fill the script with, then she cries here, then she laughs here, then she screams here, blah, 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 and then we have our paper the whole time here. And the director or engineer is like, okay, late. So you always have to start on time. And I also learned, of course, that I'm not a science person, but the light is faster than the sound, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if I am listening, only listening or guiding myself, because the dialogue already started, I'm already late. Have to always keep.
So you have to anticipate. You have to
exactly and look
jump
into
ahead
the
just the right amount.
Exactly. So I have that eye and that ear, but just because it really was my school in dubbing, and when I came here doing the chapel, that was actually like 7-8 years ago, I was like, why do I need 3 bits for? I know when the lady will start talking.
Right.
Probably seemed kind of silly to have to hear beep, beep, beep. And you're like, what? Okay.
But then and after so many projects, I'm already, you know, I got used to. So it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's good.
Once again, we're talking with Valentina Latina, and we are talking about all sorts of stuff. A lot of it dealing with the Latin American market, which, of course, is huge, you know, not only in Latin America, here in California and across the United States. It's been a growing industry, and I take it you've seen tremendous growth yourself, as, you know, since you arrived here, you know, in the Latin American market.
Like what? Sorry.
In the Latin American market, you've seen a tremendous growth here in the last 10 years.
Yes, and I'm so, those are the kind of things I am thankful and very happy with the streaming and all the platforms are currently around the world, not only Netflix, but Amazon or HBO, Hulu, and they are really looking for new representation and new shows. So I really enjoy seeing indie projects from Philippines or from not only from Colombia, but Peru and Bolivia, you know, Dominican Republic, so many countries that for sure they always had talented people there and working on their projects or documentaries, etc. But now because the streaming, they're hungry for more content. They're given the opportunity to those and that's amazing. That's great, you know, how the industry is exactly as you say, Dan, growing. And for Latin America, there's also a big door to news stories. Like, for instance, you have this cliche idea, oh, Colombians only drugs and narco dealers or ladies like this and that. And guess what? There are so many other stories we can tell. And there is so many other things that happen in Latin America. And I think that's a big thing also.
Yeah. Well, it's a big place. South America is a big place. Central America is a big place. And you're absolutely right. It's fascinating to, I think this is probably one of the best things about all this, is that we're getting to see cinema and television from other countries, you know, dubbed into English or, you know, stuff that is from all over the world, and seeing the talented filmmakers and directors and producers that are everywhere. I mean, you know, stuff coming out of Europe, stuff coming out of South America, coming out of the Middle East, you know, because I worked on a lot of that stuff, and it's quality stuff. So they've clearly been studying what goes on in Hollywood.
Right,
and
right.
And they've been applying it to their own stuff. And I think that's great. And
Turkey, course, right?
Oh,
my God.
Been watching a few Turkish, couldn't call them telenovelas because they're from Turkey. But they certainly seem to take on that flavor. You know, it seems like the same characters, the same emotion, only it's not Colombia or Mexico or something. Like kind of fascinating. We're going to take a break right now. And if you have a question for Valentina, throw it in the chat room and we will be happy to make sure that she gets to answer that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Valentina Latina here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Don't go away.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. VOBS.TV.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. The files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Spring is coming, and despite what Major League Baseball decides to do, it's high time you got your authentic VO baseball cap. Top quality fabric and embroidery with an infinitely adjustable strap tells the world just what it is that you do. VoiceOver Essentials VO Gear baseball caps are 100% cotton chino twill, garment washed, unstructured caps manufactured by Stylemaster, and feature sewn eyelets, pre-curved visor, and a metal adjustable tri-glide buckle on the adjustable strap. Available in black with their exclusive VO voice bubble design embroidered in red and white on the front and a bright red As Heard on TV logo on the backside. Show the world, or at least the people in your town, what your profession is. They're always a great conversation starter. VoiceOver Essentials VO baseball caps. Get yours exclusively at voiceoveressentials.com.
Hey, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and we talk a lot in this business about moving forward with our career, getting more information. We often don't talk about simply getting started. It can be one of the most immovable objects in our life, getting out of our own way and just simply taking the first step. And if you're watching this podcast, VoiceOver Body Shop, for some tips on how to get started in voiceover, or to change something about your voiceover career, or to increase your knowledge in a certain area, check out VOHeroes.com's Getting Started in VoiceOver. If you go to VOHeroes.com/start, you'll get all the information. It's really cheap, and I give you a lot to get started in the business, but you might also learn something if you've been in the voiceover business for a while. VOHeroes.com/start. That's VOHeroes.com/start.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Hey, we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Our guest is Valentina Latina, and we're talking about the Latin American market and whatever else goes along with that. And if you've got a question for her, and I know she's very accomplished and has spoken to a lot of other people, just get in the chat room, and Jeff Holman will get that question to us. We've got a bunch that we're going to get to here in just a little bit. Do you do a lot of your own marketing? I mean, or do you have an agent, or are you managed? How is it that you get your work?
Well, we definitely, as a Latinos, trying to understand what the agent does for me. Why do I need an agent? We don't have that in Latin America. That doesn't exist. Only exists for actors, for on-camera actors, and they're called more like managers. And that's what they do. They find jobs for you and auditions. But again, when I came here, I was like, for what? I just go to the studio and I say, hey, I've been dubbing for so long, or I'm the voice for this brand, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't that easy. So I understood I definitely had to have an agent, and also to understand how it works, not only for the California marketing, but to know that you also can have another agent in different states. And so that's how I work. Although the last 2 years, I feel this been changing, and I've been more one-on-one with certain clients, that it goes like they find me straight because my website or even social media, which I was like, okay, what I'm going to post about it? I'm an on-camera actor. So yeah, definitely is good to have, you know, certain pictures like as a reference for casting directors. But really, casting directors and voiceover, they really need to see myself in a picture. And I think the tools, social media, such as, you know, TikTok or Instagram, if you use it properly, because this is not only to have fun and then make funny things, you can actually work on a very, very big community is constantly looking for new talents or people who's trending. And that's a big surprise. And it's been hard for me, really. I'm not a big fan of posting every second, but I try. And through the years, of course, I have now another person who's helping me. And yeah, that's a big change in the marketing. So yeah.
Where do you generally post stuff? What's your, you know, your platform of your favorite platform for doing that?
For old people.
Facebook. Well, let's not take it too far here.
There's nothing wrong to say old people. It's my favorite people, by the way.
We just refer to ourselves as seasoned citizens. So
seasoned citizens.
I like that. Flavored seasoned people. It's Facebook, right? Because there is a lot of groups, and I'm so happy also it's part of our community to see each other and being in touch with many of them around the world. But Instagram is actually the platform I use mostly. And it really helps, and it's surprising. Like, this studio in Australia the other day was like, hey, Val, I've seen you using Source Connect. Can we have a session on this and that? And I was like, okay, that's interesting.
That's great when they call you without you even knowing they're out there. You
know, right?
I heard you can do this, and that's always fabulous.
Interesting to hear that they're finding you on social and then seeing that you are equipped to do these jobs, and they're like, let's reach out to her. She's
right.
She's a voice we like. She's got a studio. She's obviously serious. And other markets and countries are probably going to do that a lot more.
That's right. That's right. And also, when I share time, like personal time, or I'm helping a casting director and seeing them going through social media, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? like the first time was like, no, you have to look for professional people. So you go to agents, you go to their website. No, I need them now. And I like this. So hashtag bilingual actor, Bran. And there is only 100 dudes posting with that hashtag. Let's just give an example.
That helps.
Okay. So I'm like, oh, okay. So maybe I should start doing that. That's my tip. The tip of the day.
Creative. Very yes. creative.
All right. We got a couple of questions from our vast worldwide audience that is jamming into our site here. And George, why don't you take the one from Terry Briscoe there?
Sure. Terry asks, Valentina, what would you say is the biggest difference between acting in front of the camera and voice acting behind the mic? And do you have a preference for one over the other?
Wow, that's a great question. Hi, Terry. I don't think there is any difference. Because if you are only a voiceover who thinks, or a starring voiceover who thinks your body is not part of it, you're completely wrong, my friend. Because guess what? Your body is... it's going to be directly connected to your brain and for so many things with your emotions. So if I'm angry, if I'm maybe not have the conscious the entire time, but definitely your hands are going to move. Definitely your body is going to, you know, stand in a different way when you are part of the army or when you are injured or when you are the mom and you're trying to give an advice to your son. And that's the other part. I always invite or encourage my students, like, take some theater classes. It's the best lab you can have in your life, even though you're never going to be in front of a camera. But to have the conscience where your hands are and how you put your feet, right, it totally helped. It really helped. So, I wouldn't. Well, the big difference, of course, is about technical things. You have to know a different world, different vocabulary, and yeah, we say the things in a different way, and you, of course, don't have to be aware how do you dress up. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
That basis of acting on camera is so valuable, I think, to the voice actors. There's so many voice actors who are successful, because they've had that training of on-camera acting or theater acting.
Exactly.
I hear it. I work with thousands of voice actors, and I'm not a coach, and I'm not an actor, but I know an actor when I hear one, and when it's just something about it. It's just they impart that character, and having that training is huge. Huge. You're totally right on the money there.
Yeah. A lot of it has to do with the fact that if you understand a camera and that you're not playing to a camera, unless, of course, you're doing a commercial where you're like talking straight to a camera, you're playing to somebody else. You're playing a scene. You don't play to the camera. You play to the other person in the scene. I think a good actor is going to realize that the microphone is the exact same thing, that you don't pay attention to the microphone. You're just paying attention to what's in black and white in front of you with a few pen marks and stuff. And that helps a lot. Have you found that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different translation, I would say. You can translate in, you know, in front of a camera, same emotion because, let's say, the character fall in love. But even though you don't have the other character, and in front of you, now you have to use more your imagination. But to have the training definitely makes a big, big difference. And what I'm saying is the people who's coming from radio and people who's been only behind the microphone, it's usually very afraid to be on, you know, on stage or in front of a camera. And that's obvious. It is scary. But don't be scared. The theater is your friend and the best lab. I really recommend to everyone, any kind of profession, really. and human being, it really helps doing some theater once in life. And I don't know which one would be my favorite. It's hard. Well, sometimes voiceover, because I don't need to put makeup or shower sometimes. Oops.
We won't tell anyone. It's just between us.
George is like, wait, what? I showered today and my hair is on point.
This is as good as it gets right here until my buddy Arch comes over and cuts my hair again. How about Tag?
Go for it. Let's see here. Valentina, this is from Tag Studio. Loved your amazing, engaging presentation at One Voice Dallas.
Aww.
Happy to see you again this evening. I'd love to know more about how you like your studio chair. Have you had it long? And do you recommend it?
Your studio chair is color coordinated.
You fit right in.
It's a fashion statement. It's everything.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Sponsored by this guy. Okay.
It's got a headrest. It's got a pillow.
Yeah, and this is amazing, guys. I have another pillow here, I know all of us, we need it, huh?
Is that a lumbar?
Yes.
At the back.
The guy really helps my back. I don't know, I found it very, very comfortable, and I know it's a gamer chair. I'm not a gamer, but you can stay here. Like traded out with them just fine.
Were you in a store that happened to sell them? How did you happen to know? You must have sat in one at some point and thought, I like this.
Yeah, I tried once for a gamer friend and I was like, dude, this is amazing. And he's like, yes, because I play professionally and it's easily 10 hours a day and you have to be as comfortable as you can. And I was like, okay, let's try that. So yeah. For some reason, this is a big tool also because my back was killing me. And you know, we always talk about microphones and everything, you know, but let's talk about chairs. We need to take care of our backs.
No right? question.
Yeah.
I've got a new one myself chair. Now.
Gamer wow. chair, that makes a big difference. Of course, yeah. This is what I do, my editing and everything inside. My booth, I'd rather not sitting. It's more like a personal thing, and I like to be stand up the whole time.
Yeah. Be more physical.
Yeah, more physical. Physically. Well, however, if I'm doing an audiobook, of course, I take my breaks and I sit. It's a small chair.
Yeah. Have you been doing many audiobook titles?
Yeah.
Just to fill the time, or?
Yes, a lot of audiobooks, mostly for kids, and I like it because I'm a mom as well, so it's good to have that language and to test myself. If my daughter is paying attention and is not getting bored by my voice.
That's a great point. If you can entertain and keep your own kid attention, then you're doing something right, because they're gonna
right?
get bored of you pretty quick.
No question. George, why don't you get the next one from Jay Horace?
Jay there. Horace, yeah. He says, Valentina, you have a very genuine, bright energy. Chair are you sitting in? Well, I think we know now.
We covered that.
But
one,
he says it looks like a Recaro seat that I had in an older BMW back in the day. It does. Those chairs are definitely modeled after the Recaro racing seats from cars, for sure. And you did kind of answer this already, but tell us more about your setup. So he asks, do you work in a booth or in a closet? And then which are your primary microphones that you use?
Yeah, I do have the microphones. I have the shotgun Sennheiser, the 416.
416.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And the TLM 103 is my best friend forever. I'm very thankful about, especially with my narrations and dubbing, it really, I hear is a difference. And, and whenever I'm doing more commercials, I use the other one, but it all depends. It really, sometimes, the client prefers one than the other one. And, that was a question? I forgot. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, no, just that you're using a booth, and then what kind of microphones?
Oh, yeah, so I have a booth, as many of my colleagues, I started in my closet. I get rid of all my, you know, clothes, and I put these acoustic panels, and then it was the moment I had to really move on and do it more professional.
Well, and as we like to say, no one needs to see how the sausage is made. All those clothes actually work really well.
That is true. That, you know, my husband the other day, he found this picture, and I was literally like almost bent. I don't know how did I do those bookings, really. And he was like, here, these are the beginnings. Keep this picture because it's a good reminder that with all that uncomfortable space and cheap microphone, you're here. So that's a good thing, you know, like, okay, yeah, maybe they don't need to, they didn't need to see how I was making this sauce. But it was also part of the, okay, now I need to be more comfortable. Now I have visitors in my studio. Now if I'm teaching a class or doing something, I'm definitely not going to walk the people through my closet anymore.
Hey, another one slipped in, actually.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of an interesting question.
Great question.
I don't know if you have a good answer for this, but Dave G says, okay, let's turn the tables.
Ooh.
Give some advice to Anglos who want to book more work in English and Latin countries. Is that possible? Is that happening?
I love
and
it.
How do I find those jobs? No, he didn't say that, but he just wanted some advice.
You are going to be surprised, but the amount of castings and auditions and people in Latin America looking for Native American speakers is huge, and you guys have no presence really so far.
I'm going to make a note of that.
Please. I think Dan is pulling out his notebook. He is finding the one pencil with a tip on it.
Even though I already said that we don't have agents, unfortunately. But in Mexico, yes, they have two or three agents. They're big people. Connie Troncoso, I don't know if there is any way I can put this on the chat or can I do
you
that?
You can type it into the Tony comments.
Troncoso. Well, I'm not going to. Okay, Tony Troncoso, if maybe any of my colleagues in Latin America can put that on the chat, that would be great. I'm very helpful. She's one of the agents in Mexico, for example. Directorio de Talentos, that is another big agent in Mexico. But mostly are the, how's it called? Yeah, the agencies, how do you call this in English? They do the marketing for the companies.
Public relations.
Yeah, public relations. Yeah. So that's a great start, you know, like just sending your demo. You don't really need to introduce yourself in a poor Spanish. If you don't feel comfortable, please don't do it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is it important as an American with an English accent, you know, American accented voice, do you need to have some Spanish under your belt?
No, not really.
To these countries.
No. As long as you really can just understand the very basic, like what's your rate and for how long and what will be the, you know, the platform or for how long will be used, etc. The usage. That's just the very basic thing. Mm-hmm. So it's more one-on-one, really, the clients. But the other big source for us, and we were talking about this before I started with Dan and George, is the unions. So there is three big unions in Latin America. There's Mexican one, and you don't really need to be part of it, but just to be aware they exist, and they're usually looking for American ones. The ACL is the Colombian union, and they're all the time. We have a group chat on WhatsApp. They're like, hey, I'm looking for Americans. Hey, I'm looking. So we are like, okay, let me call, you know, my friend who's bilingual because she was born in Miami, but then traveled to Colombia and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait, but where all the American, where are my American colleagues? Anytime I'm trying to help another casting director, I go through my Facebook page or Instagram again, and I say, hey, looking for Native Americans. So yeah, but not talking about the Argentinian one that you, Dan, have some information there. That is different.
Yes, no, I remember hearing that, you know, they have to you have to be licensed there. I mean, the rules in the different, you know, South American countries are all fascinating. Latina, it has been absolutely fascinating having you with us tonight, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. And if people want to get a hold of you, or if you're doing any teaching or any webinars, are you doing any of that kind of stuff?
I do. March 5, if I'm not wrong, but you can check on Real Voice LA. Teaching this, how to set up your home studio. It's more for people who also wants to do this crossover from Latin America to the American marketing. And also with Centauro, which is one of the biggest dubbing studio houses we have in Sao Paulo, Mexico, Colombia, and Miami. Centauro Producciones, I'm the dubbing teacher as well there. And I'm very happy to be connected with my community. And for, of course, not only Latinos, but also American, that I'm trying to connect more and more. Because this industry is not only growing, but getting stronger. And we really need to keep educating new generations. And this is very, very important that you guys also have in this space. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for joining us tonight. Valentina Latina. All righty. George and I will be right back after these messages to wrap things up and to rack it up for Tech Talk. So don't go away.
Bye.
Bye.
You're still watching VOBS?
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Well, if you've been listening, you've probably heard some stories from Valentina Latina about how Source Connect is a big part of her life and her studio life and her production life. Just even having Source Connect has even, just because she has it listed on her website that she's a Source Connect equipped studio, has actually landed her work. And that is true. It happens. You know, when you put out there that you're a pro and you show that you use professional software, equipment, and you've put the time, the effort, the money into learning them and setting them up, it just paints a picture of professionalism. And, you know, that is something that will help you win the gig. It's going to be your talent that gets attention, but those things can make a difference when they're thinking about who to book on a job. So Source Connect is one of those tools in your toolbox that screams, I am a pro voiceover actor. There's just no doubt about it. Now, to use it, you have to learn some basics. You have to learn how the system works, how to set it up. And you do have to have a good sounding studio, right? Just having Source Connect doesn't mean you have a pro sounding studio. You need to have that sorted out. There is so much to learn. We do this on the show every week and teach you what it takes. But at the very least, have a demo and have a license set up, at least a demo license under your name. So you're in their system, you're showing up as a user. Very, very important. And just go to source-elements.com and get started. Get that 15-day free trial and start using it and tell them we sent you. We'd appreciate it. Anyway, we'll be right back to wrap it up right after this.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The Voiceover Body Shop.
All right, and we're back, and our thanks to Valentina Latina. Very interesting. You wouldn't know that they're looking for English voices down there.
So I know. Thanks to Dave for the question, and thanks to her for that gold answer.
Yeah,
with some good information. So yeah, that was excellent.
What a delightful young lady. Thanks for being with us tonight. Well, let's see. Next week on this very show, if you happen to be here or stay alive with us for a little bit, is Tech Talk number 74. And George and I have lots of cool stuff to talk about. And, of course, we're happy to take your questions.
Show off a new piece of gear, which you've been listening to the whole show so far.
Ooh, and it's been working great. Who are our donors of the week? A lot of familiar names there.
Should we tag team?
Absolutely. Like, we'll start with Philip Sapir.
Thomas Pinto.
Shelley Avellino.
George A. Whittam, my dad.
Brian Page, great actor.
Patty Gibbons.
Rob Ryder.
Greg Thomas.
A Doctor Voice, which is, I believe, Dr. Nathan Carlson.
I believe so. Antland Productions, Uncle Roy.
Shanna Pennington Baird.
Martha Kahn.
Don Griffith.
Trey Mosley.
Diana Birdsall.
And Sandra Manweller.
Yeah. Speaking of Martha Kahn, she's going to be joining us in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Talk about getting your kids into voiceover, because that's
right.
She
is lit. She's on fire doing kids voice acting coaching and stuff. It's
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah. We need to thank our sponsors, of course, like Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials.
Voiceover Extra.
Source Elements, the makers of Source Connect.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com. And
JMC
Demos.
Demos.
Demos. Demos. Our thanks to Jeff Holman for being here and getting the chat room working right and getting those questions to us. Our amazing technical director, who had to ride her bike today, so we couldn't be in the studio. But
I'm jealous. I haven't ridden mine in like a week.
Yeah,
good for you.
I'm going to get on mine too. Sue Merlino, thank you for the great work you do. And that's going to wrap it up for VoiceOver Body Shop this week. Stay tuned, because we're going to record Tech Talk number 74. Right after this, we want your questions, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll wrap it up here. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S.
Tech Talk.
Oh, wait, Tech Talk's next time.
No, Tech Talk's next. No.
I'm just teasing.